Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay and had a good weekend. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Monday, December the 1st. Coming up, there's a warning. Homelessness in Kent has reached record levels. A man's demanding action after suffering a broken arm in a fall, and the Jills fought back to rescue a point at the weekend. We've got reaction from the manager. But first, drivers are still facing delays in a village near Maidstone more than a month after a wall collapsed. Now, the wall borders a house in Leeds and is thought to have been hit by a lorry in October, leaving rubble over the carriageway of the B2163. Bruce Piddick lives there.
It gets worse here every day. It's like a racetrack through here. We have arsenic coming through here, which shouldn't come through here, unless, of course, it's for the farm up the road there, in which case they've got a right of access. But other than that, everyone uses the cut through. It's just a nightmare. Quite often it will be bumper to bumper both ways, whether these lights are here or not.
Now, temporary lights are in place before repairs are carried out, but Neil Willett says it's having a real impact on residents' lives and larger vehicles are causing damage.
I've had several of my cars actually smashed by vehicles coming down. Fortunately, some stopped and some haven't, so it's just an ongoing cost. And unfortunately now, it's just impossible to actually park a car outside your own property. And with the amount of traffic, we can't even have the windows open.
It's understood the first phase of work to carry out repairs will get underway today. Lyndon Kemcaran is the leader of Kent County Council.
Temporary traffic lights in Leeds are a real bane of my life as well as everybody else's life, because of course that is one of the roads that I use very regularly. HGVs are forced to go through there because there is no other way around at the moment. It's really unfortunate when something like this happens. But look, my highways department are on it. They are fixing the problem as quickly as possible, and we really hope to resume normal service as soon as possible. I certainly hope so.
It's understood the current temporary lights are costing the local authority around £500 per day, although that's not been confirmed by KCC. However, they do say any costs incurred, including traffic management, will be discussed directly with the private landowner. And you can watch a report by the local Democracy Reporting Service within the story today at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories, and the principal of a special needs school in Sittingbourne has insisted the safety of pupils is their highest priority after a boy managed to get out. The 9-year-old who has autism was spotted on the A2 about half a mile from Meadowfield after scaling a fence. His mum says she's received an apology from the school and they're arranging a meeting to ensure his safety going forward. A number of schools have been forced to close because of water supply issues in Tunbridge Wells. Around 24,000 customers didn't have water over the weekend following problems at the Pembury treatment works. Well, South East Water say storage tanks are being refilled and supplies should be restored during today. They've also apologised. Well, we've got details of the schools that are closed and where you can still get bottled water if you need it within our story at Kent Online. Now, there's a warning. Homelessness in Kent has reached some of the highest levels on record as we head into winter. Government figures show rough sleeping in the county has risen by 28% in just 4 months, with 248 people now living on the streets. Dan is among those being supported by charity Porchlight. He's been telling us how he ended up sleeping rough.
Well, I was with my partner for 12 years, my ex-partner, and we just come to an end. You know, we still talk and that, still mates, but it just come to an end. And obviously the house was in our name because it was like a shared like a place. And so me and my dog had to leave. And obviously I've got my dog. So we were sofa surfing here, there and everywhere for about 6 months. And then it got to the stage where people had to say, I can take you, but I can't take your dog. And, not a chance in hell I could get rid of my dog now. I've had her nearly 4 years now. I've worked all my life until I had a cardiac arrest at work at Wembley Stadium in May 21, just before the Euros. And from that, I had to keep having blood tests every month. They found out I've got a form of blood cancer. So I'm on 9 tablets a day now, with blood thinners and stuff for my platelets. And so it was awkward staying here, there and everywhere. I've lost loads of medication along the way made my mum literally, you know, she cared so much. Not go, you know, but she was really, really worried. And it just got to a point where people were saying, we can take you, but not your dog. So then we ended up on the streets. That's the first ever time I've been on the streets. And you know, I've always worked, always had a, you know, had a partner, that was brought up well. And when I've seen people on the streets, you know, I always bang them a pound or something, but I've never actually thought, you know, how bad it is. And I can honestly say it was the worst. We was only on the streets for about a week, but it was the worst experience of my life. Wake up in the morning, freeze, it was in October, and it was just starting to get cold. And just putting a bit of cardboard on the floor, putting my jacket over the dog. I just felt obviously more sorry for my dog more than anything. And it was a bad time. I never see it. Sending shivers up my spine now talking about it. But it was, I couldn't, when I see people now on the streets, you know, I'm trying to, you know, buy them sank or whatever. But it was a bad time, very bad time. And then, my sister helped me. She got hold of the MP, the local MP. And they managed to put me in temporary accommodation. And then, Porchlight rung me, thank God. I've got a lovely flat here, it's amazing.
The government say they're investing to improve the availability of temporary accommodation.
Kent Online reports.
There's going to be a public inquiry to help decide if a controversial inland border facility near Ashford will stay there permanently. The site at Sevington was built to carry out checks on goods going in and out of the country following Brexit. It opened near the M20 in 2021, but only under a five-year arrangement. Bosses are now hoping it'll remain, saying it's a critical requirement. The inquiry starts tomorrow. It's been confirmed Poundland in Faversham will be closing just 2 years after it opened. Signs have been put up in the windows of the store on Preston Street, which was previously an M&Co. It'll stop trading on January the 6th. Next today, and a man's described how he was left screaming in pain after tripping over a drain cover in Folkestone. Colin Waldron suffered a broken arm and bruises to his ribs after it happened in the old High Street. The 72-year-old from Ashford was on a family day out at the time. He's now calling on roads bosses to take action before anyone else is hurt.
I've been away for 3 days down in Wales, and I came back and I wanted to see the grandchildren. They were going down to Folkestone for the afternoon. So they went down, and I a little bit behind them. So I parked up, and I was walking up the, I think it's the High Street, the cobbled street.
The old narrow high street up the hill. Yeah.
They were ahead of me, and I was going up the hill to meet them. So I wasn't rushing. I was taking it easily, and.
And you were going uphill.
I was going uphill. There was quite a lot of people around in the street, and I stayed on the pavement rather than in the cobbled path because I thought, the cobbled road looks a bit awkward. Looking up ahead rather than looking at where I was putting my feet, as you do when you're going uphill.
Okay.
And I suddenly tripped on, I didn't know what it was at the time, and went down flat on my face. Well, I put my hand out, obviously, because the injury is to my wrist and to my elbow.
Yeah.
And to my right elbow, my right knee, and my ribs are damaged because the camera was on my chest.
You had a camera around your neck?
Yeah, the camera was around my neck, and the camera went in like that. And basically, I lay there screaming. Couldn't move. And I was screaming. I don't know what I was saying, but there was probably some nasty things that I said as well. The public accumulated around me and checked it. Asked me all sorts of questions, and did I want an ambulance and such like, and all I could say was meeting my daughter up the hill, Serena.
Well, your daughter blamed, I believe, uneven pavements. What do you think is the source of the problem that caused this accident for you?
The uneven pavement.
Simple.
I tripped.
You tripped?
I know I tripped. The protrusion, and let's say the shoes I was wearing, I can show you the shoes, I got a tread on them like that, and that tread hit the protrusion whatever it is, the slab. And I went over. And that's what caused the loss.
You took over a paving stone, basically?
I don't know.
Okay.
Whether it's a paving stone or a cover to a drain or a water, I believe, from what my daughters have said to me, is that it's a cover to a water mains or a water stopcock or something like that. I just know that I tripped and fell on my face and lost it.
And considering that, what do you think should be done?
First of all, I think somebody should say to me and apologise as a minimum in some way or another. I've lost 3 weeks of my life and probably another 3 weeks where I can't do bugger all for the next 3 weeks, and I've got a holiday to pay for. That's the other thing is that whatever the cause is should be repaired so that nobody else really severely injures themselves. I was quite able to walk before this, and I can't at the moment.
You could walk without a stick?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I haven't used a stick for about 2 years since I had a bad accident 4 years ago. Oh, that was something else. The lady who ran the shop outside where this problem is said that there's been many people that have fallen there, quite a number, none as serious as myself. But somebody will get very badly hurt and injured. If somebody was disabled and had tripped there, they could have broken hips, legs, and be pretty badly damaged.
Colin was chatting there to our reporter Sam Lennon. While warning bollards have been put in place, the County Council say they've identified an issue with the drain cover and notified Affinity Water. We've contacted them for a comment. Bosses at an American diner in Northfleet have thanked the local community for their support while it was forced to close following a nearby fire. The Hot Rod Diner on the High Street had to shut during October half term when flames swept through a building, forcing the road to be closed. It's thought to have cost them around £2,000 a day, but managers say they've been busier than ever since reopening. A hotel and wedding venue near Tenterden has partially reopened 9 months after it suddenly closed. £400,000 is being spent on refurbishing Little Silver Country Hotel. The site was bought by an entrepreneur earlier this year after going into administration. The restaurant, lounge and half of the 16 rooms have been made available so far.
Kent Online reports.
Customers have been left frustrated as a new cashless parking system has led to long queues at a shopping centre. Barriers have been installed along with automatic number plate readers at St James Retail and Leisure Park. Residents say it's taken ages to get in and out of the site in Dover. Bosses insist the queues will go once people get used to the changes. Work has finally started on a derelict shop in Folkestone that had become a target for vandals. The former Store 21 building in Bouverie Place has been empty since 2016. The exterior is being re-rendered, although it's still not sure what's going to happen with the site in the long term. Well, we do know which fast food brands are going to be coming to another part of Folkestone as plans move forward to develop land on an industrial estate. The 11-acre plot used to be home to the Silver Springs Mineral Water Factory, which was knocked down in 2014. Burger King and Costa are set to open drive-throughs there. An Aldi supermarket is also planned. Next, and schools across Kent have been recognised for the work they're doing to protect the environment. The Green School Awards celebrates projects from building bug boxes to installing solar panels. Well, PCF Preschool in the Parkwood part of Gillingham got a special Little Green Heroes Award and were the youngest winners. Ellie Wilson is the manager there.
Where our preschool is situated, we've got a lovely green space behind us. So the children, when they go out on their environmental walks, they like to take litter pickers to help keep the area clean. And also we've been recycling our food waste after snack time, so the children are learning about how that can decompose. But also the children are collecting their apple seeds and starting to do some planting as well, so that they can start to grow their own fruit and veg for their snack times.
It's fantastic. But of course you are a preschool, so they're so incredibly young, the student or the pupils that you have there, the children you have there. How important is it that they learn about this from a young age?
So at the moment, the children probably aren't even realising they're learning. It's all just very much through play. But it's great because then we hear that the children are then going home and they're talking about doing litter picking with their families. So it's just lovely how, even though we're not really teaching them, we're just doing it through play, they are absorbing so much information.
And as far as growing things as well, the fact that they'll be able to see that in future times, have you told them that, you know, they'll grow into trees and things like that?
So I'm not going to lie. Sometimes when we've been growing carrots, we may have planted some Tesco carrots in there just to speed up the process because we didn't want to lose their interest. But yeah, we are talking about it and just talking about different ways we can get the fruit. So sometimes we might get the apples from Tesco's, but sometimes we might get them when they've grown, because we do tell them it's going to take a little while.
We always hear, don't we, that it's so important children learn about where their food comes from and from farm to fork and that sort of thing. Do you think it's really important when the little ones are having like their lunch breaks and their snack breaks that they know exactly where that produce has either been grown or where it's been bought?
So we do try to teach them that, but also with our children, because quite often with younger children, you'll like cut up the apple and they might not even realise what a whole apple looks like. So we're trying to teach them about a fully formed piece of fruit as well as the segments they eat it in. But also we will talk about different fruits that are in season. So we're eating this because it's in season. So like we wouldn't always have strawberries the whole year round. But yeah, it's nice that the children can see something that they planted grow to a final product.
And as far as recycling is concerned, I mean, that's just a skill for life, isn't it? Because we all should be doing that at home. So you're teaching them some good habits very, very early.
We love preschool children because obviously they tell us all the secrets. So it's been interesting to hear whose families were doing it, who have started doing it as a result. But again, it's a really simple thing that the children have just implemented. And like we say, they've taken it home, which is great because then it is expanding into the wider community.
Do you think there'll be any different projects coming up in future? Obviously, you've been doing some great work already, but have you got any other ideas as to what you'd like to do?
So what we plan to do when it comes to the summer is on our environmental walks, also take some water to help to plant, water the plants and the flowers that are around by us, just to help look after their local community. But I think just continuing to do litter picking, because it's so important to just keep their environments clean, because obviously our children enjoy going to the outside spaces and the playgrounds, and it keeps it safe for them and for other children.
Congratulations to everybody who was celebrated at the event. A Waterslade mum has completed a trek across the Sahara Desert just months after finishing treatment for breast cancer. Diane Lane was joined by celebrities including Giovanna Fletcher and presenter Ashley James for the 100-kilometre journey. It was organised by breast cancer charity Copperfield and managed to raise more than £800,000. And Gillingham's Balvinder Sopal is through to the quarterfinals of Strictly. The EastEnders star survived another dance-off after finishing in the bottom two with Doctor Who actress Alex Kingston.
Kent Online Sports.
Football first up, and it was an epic fight back for Gillingham to claim a point in League Two at the weekend. They came from 3-1 down away at Shrewsbury Town to draw 3-3. It was a return to his former club for manager Gareth Ainsworth, and he spoke to the club's media team after the match.
The first half, we weren't good enough, you know, We didn't play second half. Outstanding in times, you know, and that's the difference. We've got to bring these together. I think another 5 minutes, we win the game. There's only one team going to score. They're keepers wasting time at 3-3, you know. So they're obviously happy with the point. We're going for it. We want to try and win the game at the end there. And I was disappointed with the first half, the three goals we've conceded. You know, it's not like us. We're usually very solid. We've got the second best defensive record in the league. But some real bad mistakes, you know, some individual mistakes that I've got to pick up. Everyone does it, but it was at crucial times, you know, and the one just before half time I thought was the killer. I thought with the conditions, the wind in our favour, kicking to our fans, second half, we were always going to get one, maybe two. And I thought we could have had more, you know, we had chances galore. We had chances to hit the target, and we limited Shrewsbury to very little that second half. And that was the story of the game. But first half, the damage was done. You can't score three goals away from home and not win a game. That's criminal, and that's what we've done today.
That said, we haven't lost. I mean, that second half, that kind of personify your Gillingham team. They go to the end.
They don't know when to beat, you know. They will keep going and fighting and scrapping. Even I can take the mistakes because I'm getting the effort. And if any fans want to say they're not giving effort, come and see me, because they're giving everything. Robbie McKenzie's played on there with a real, real nasty injury, you know, when the boys backed into him in the first half and he's gone over the top of him, which is really dangerous. But there's also a sending off incident in the game which I cannot believe the referee has not given a red card. I don't know how that Josh Andrews isn't through on goal, who's very quick, who's going through, the last man's dragged him down. I have no idea why the referee has not pulled that back. And I'm not one to ask for red cards, but wow, that is blatant. That's as blatant as you're going to get. You know, the ball was a perfect ball. I don't know where that's come from. So, again, it's something that we've not had. But the spirit these boys show, the fight, and not just that, Phil, the football I thought we played second half. I thought it was fantastic football. Free-flowing, tempo, a real tempo, you know. Obviously, you know, I get billed for a style here and there, but you look at that second half, the amount of crosses Gareth McLemore and Mayle Hutton got in, combining down the right-hand side there, and that led to the equalising goal, obviously, never coming off the bench. But fans were fantastic, really were. And obviously the Shrewsbury fans, you know, they gave me a bit, and that's fine as well. Yeah, they don't know the full story, so I'm totally happy with the result, because we've got a point away from home. I just wish it could have been three, because that would have been 2 wins, 2 draws in the last 4 games, and that's a nice place to be, you know. So, but Colchester next week, we get ready for that now, and hopefully we can take the second half into that game, because that was way good enough for League Two.
The Gills got one of their goals back through a penalty. It was taken by Robbie McKenzie.
There's a great togetherness in the changing room, and it shows the fight that we have got in us, and we have got goals in us, and we're showing that now. And we've got to build on the momentum of we've finished the game with, but we've got to start the next game with that as well.
Penalty wise, were you always taking it, or was it a last minute .com decision?
I'm on them at the minute, yeah. So yeah.
And nice to score right in front of the travelling fans. Not quite sure how many there were, but
there was plenty. Yeah, there was a lot there. We felt it, and we obviously appreciate every single time they come, because the travelling support's been brilliant, and yeah, we do appreciate it.
And as a collective, you must be so pleased for Elliot Neville to come to the bench to score a fantastic header, wasn't it? And
yeah, yeah.
Perhaps could have won it at the end.
I think if one team was going to win it, it was going to be us. We had the momentum, and yeah, great for Neville to come on and score the goal. So yeah, happy for him.
Gillingham are now 8th in the table. That's just outside the playoff places. And in ice hockey, it was back-to-back wins for Kent's Invicta Dynamos over the weekend. They beat Romford Buccaneers 5-0 on Saturday night before a 7-3 victory over Swindon Wildcats 2 yesterday. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.